KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media communications and journalism students at Fresno State, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning, I'm Tyler Bartlam.
And I'm Tristan Lewis. Thank you for joining us this morning for Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, stories about people of the Central Valley. This morning, we'll hear from a student who wasn't able to make it home for Thanksgiving and how she copes with being away from family and friends.
Also, how college students can fall into bad credit and where they can go for help. Plus, we'll find out whether sex discrimination is still pervasive in sports media. But first, not going home for the holidays.
As we finish celebrating Thanksgiving and being with our families, we often forget those who are not able to spend the holidays with the people they love. I interviewed a Fresno State student who spent her Thanksgiving working and at school.
So for Thanksgiving, I am going to be spending it with my family. We're going to cook a turkey, have some stuffing. It's going to be really fun.
I'm going to hang out with my friends. We're all going to bring some good food, sort of like a potluck deal, and we're going to have a good time.
For Thanksgiving, I plan to eat a big turkey with all my friends and family there. It'll be really cool.
But not everyone has plans to go home and see their family for this holiday.
I have to work, and at like 9 o'clock in the morning till like 7 o'clock at night, I work at a restaurant, so we're open on Thanksgiving, and we offer Thanksgiving meals, so I'll be here doing that.
Katie Gogo is originally from San Diego. This was her third year missing Thanksgiving with her family.
I've never been able to go home for Thanksgiving because I've always been working, and I've always worked at a place where we're open, and it's like not a seasonal job, but it's like you have to be there, so I've never got to go home.
At first, Gogo wasn't really upset about her holiday in Fresno because of all the new freedoms she had away from home. But as sophomore year came around, that's when the homesickness started.
When I came out here, I didn't really realize how much I depended on my family until I didn't have them all the time. And we had just started getting closer again. So it wasn't hard at first, but then later on it got harder, especially when I came home that next summer. Before I came back for my second year, we like figured everything out and we were back to a happy little family again, and it was just really sad. My second year was hard.
Hearing about plans and traditions also makes it hard for Gogo to be away.
They're going to Arizona. We go out there for summertime for the river and stuff, so they're going to go out there for Thanksgiving, and I'm really sad.
Plus, not being able to enjoy a home-cooked meal for the holidays also makes it especially hard.
On like my second year, I knew I was really sad. I didn't even get Thanksgiving dinner. I cooked like the 95-cent stuffing box.
Being so far away from home makes it not only hard on Gogo, but her family as well. Her mom, Melissa Esper, says there's a big hole when Gogo isn't home for the holiday.
We're definitely missing a big part of our family when she's not around. She brings us a special light and joy to us when she's there. It's just hard when your whole family's not around.
Whenever Gogo gets a chance, she will call her family so that she can keep everyone updated on her life.
FaceTime all the time. My sister's 11, so she's like all into that iPod stuff. And so she calls me all the time, and I call my mom when anything happens. Like, she's the first person I call. So that's like our only line of communication, so we do our best to keep that going.
And sometimes, those phone calls can help push her to make it through the rest of the day.
She always calls us how much she misses us, and we always give her a little pep talk of how proud we are of her perseverance and how strong of a young woman she is and how much we miss her. And yeah, we try to keep it positive for her so she doesn't get sad.
Even though it's hard to be away from family, it makes things even more special when she does get to come home.
I went home a few weeks ago, and that was the first time I had gone home since I came out here for summer. So that was like, it was exciting for them, exciting for me. For winter break, I'll be there for at least 3 weeks. Well, however long our break is at school. So that should be fun. I'm excited for that. And we're gonna go out to the desert, which is where we go like off-roading and stuff. And we always spend a week out there. And so I'm excited to do that.
But then it's even harder to leave when she needs to go back home, especially on her little sister.
Whenever I leave from home, she's crying. She leaves me little notes in my car. And like, I just came home from San Diego in like the end of October, kind of around Halloween. And she made me like this huge candy cup with like a bunch of notes in it. And she was just really sad. Like, they hate when I leave.
But both Gogo and her family know that although she is away, she's making decisions that will help her out in the future.
They're really supportive, actually, because I'm out here doing things that are necessary for myself. And even though I'm not going to be in school for a couple of days, it's still necessary for me to be out here because I have things that I can be doing for finals. And so, I mean, they're sad as well. And so is my brother and sister because they love me being out there. But it's necessary. So I'll be there in a couple of weeks.
She's a very hard worker, and we support everything that she does. And we know that being her age is tough to make smart decisions, and she always makes the best decisions about where she needs to be to get things done for her future.
Even though she wasn't able to see her family on Thanksgiving, Gogo still has other plans to celebrate with her coworkers that don't get to go home either.
Because we're like a little family at my work, and we also do a Friendsgiving. Last year I wasn't included because I was kind of new at the job, but this year we're going to do it. They don't even want to make turkey, so I don't know if it's like pointless, but just to spend time with people, I guess, would be cool.
Plus, the extra few days off from school really help with her workload too.
With the classes that I'm in right now, I'm going to be doing homework all break anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Gogo says that she knows she has stuff to do at school, and so she's not too worried about not going home for the holidays, and she knows in a couple weeks she'll be right back with her family in San Diego. If you're a student who wasn't able to spend the past couple days with family, here's some tips to survive the holidays. Gogo copes by working. Others do a Friendsgiving in their dorm. Hundreds volunteer during the day to help make the day go by. Just remember that you are out here for a reason, and everything you are doing is here to help you out in the future. And just know that the semester is coming to an end, and you can get the chance to see them real soon.
Falling into debt and bad credit can be easy. Getting out of it is where people can have some trouble. Talia Arredondo has a story from a student's perspective that we can all learn from.
One of the most exciting parts of growing up is becoming independent. But learning how to do so can be challenging, especially financially. Building good credit is a must. It will help you qualify for loans, auto insurance, rental application, cell phone plans, and can even affect whether you get a job in the long run. But not knowing how to manage your credit and your money can also be a major problem that can actually affect your future. Yasmin Hernandez is a senior at Fresno State, and she is one of many who had trouble building her credit the right way.
I had just turned 18, and I had gotten financial aid, and I had wasted it all. I was a freshman, and it was like $1,000 for a semester, so within the 2 months of school starting, it was gone. I wasted my money on really insignificant things like clothing that I didn't really need, shoes I didn't really need, going out, eating out, things like that. Things that I could have like easily like not done, not wasted it in. I had applied to TJ Maxx credit card, so I ended up qualifying for $400. And so I was making my first purchases.
At the time, Yasmin was also planning a trip to fly out of the country to Spain in the summer, in which she pulled out two loans of $4,500 each.
I was so excited about Spain, I didn't realize that I still had like a lot of money in that card that I used on, so I had a balance of like I would say $200 of purchases. And so I took off to Spain. I didn't realize that I had left that balance there and it was due, so I didn't give up my minimum payment of $50 a month. I had forgotten to make that first those couple payments, and after I came back I realized that I had, like, missed two payments on that credit card. So I checked my credit score, and it was really bad.
A bad credit score can range anywhere from the 500s to 579. This can happen when you forget to give payments on time. Yasmin had some troubles, but is doing her best to get her credit score back up.
It was a really stressful moment in my life. Well, a couple things I did by trying to help out my situation here was, like, I ended up getting a job. When I was younger, I mainly depended on my parents, so I didn't really have a job. I didn't really have income, so I ended up getting a server job. And, well, with the tip money, which came really good, I managed to make my payments month to month on that credit card until I paid it off. It helped me out a lot because I learned to become more responsible. And since I'm working for my money, I now realize that it's not easy sometimes to have the things you want. So it gave me a reality check.
Yasmin was also able to get a second job at the Learning Center at Fresno State. This was a way for her to stay busy and also a way for her not to spend money on things she wasn't supposed to.
And now I'm trying to make my payments on those loans I took out. That way I can clear out the debt I had with the loans and I should be set. Should be pretty good.
Fresno State has a Golden Credit Union on campus available for students. This is where students and faculty can get more information on how to build and manage their credit.
Talia Redondo, Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
Mobile apps help us with everything from keeping our finances straight to seeing in the dark. Some of the hottest apps help us get from point A to point B, like Uber, which offers rides and even jobs. Nikki McCabe talks with a recent Fresno State grad who's found the Uber way of life is not too bad.
Hi, this is your Uber driver.
For the past 3 months, Roy Sten has been working as a driver for Uber. Every week, he gets in his car and drives out to anyone who needs a ride. Royce is a Fresno State alumni who graduated last year. He, like many graduates, has trouble finding a job. He says working for Uber has helped him earn extra cash while job searching.
I typically work Thursday through Saturday night, and during that time I can make anywhere from $100 to $200 over the weekend. It depends on the demand, though.
Alexander Perry says he's thankful for Uber and drivers like Royce.
You know, it's very quick, easy, affordable, you know. It's real fun. The people are real nice, you know. They drive real good, and they're not crazy drivers. Some people drive too slow, but, you know, it is what it is.
Eddie Rathangzi says he uses Uber because it's important and encourages everyone to use it to stay safe.
It's a different path. Think about it. Think before you act. And really, you know, there's people out there who care for your life. So please use Uber if you drive. Like, don't be drinking and driving, you know. It's not fun.
Roy says being an Uber driver has its perks. One of those perks is getting to know the people he picks up.
While picking up the passengers, you know, you do get to pick up their stories along the way, which is also a real interesting reason why I would suggest doing it for a lot of people.
Thanks to mobile apps like Uber and Lyft, anyone can easily find a driver nearby to take them where they need to be.
Women in sports media have come a long way since the days they weren't allowed to enter the men's locker room. But Alexis Govea tells us sex discrimination is still an issue today.
Kaylina Speakman grew up a sports fan, and dreamt of working for the MLB Network. But it was one experience at a small market that crushed her dreams of becoming a reality.
I definitely think there is a boundary where women are mistreated more, but I also think it kind of just depends on where you end up and what station you end up, especially if you're starting off at a new station. Because I've heard of women who went to a great news station and their sports director just absolutely respected women and made the job for them really well and made the transition really smooth. But I also have heard of women who went to a news station like myself who got a boss who was a male chauvinistic pig and just made their life miserable and wanted women out of the business completely and said, women do not belong in sports. You need to get out. You need to go back to where you came from.
Speakman says she was given the job mostly based on her gender.
They had to hire me because I was a woman. The job was for a woman. So we had two men and a woman. And kind of how they wanted it was that third spot had to be a female. So I was the third female in a year that had left that station. The two before me had also filed complaints against the sports director. The one who replaced me has now filed pages of complaints against him, and nothing has been done because they don't want to get rid of him because he's a sports director. So instead of saying he's the problem, they're putting the blame on the women, even though the women are the one doing the majority of the work. When I went to work, I did more work than the both men combined. I'd be the one to go to the further games, cover the longer games, have more highlights to edit and longer scripts and stuff like that. And I always felt that I was the one who had to do the extra work because I was a female to make up for it, while the other two guys got to stay locally, cover the easy games. So I think that he just wanted to find a way to push us out.
She says she felt treated noticeably different than her male coworkers.
He would call my female coworkers fat. Remember one time after a bad show, he punched a filing cabinet right next to me and stared at me and walked out, and I felt scared for my life. And I brought that to the news director, and she just thought I was making it up because for some reason she always believed him. And just, you know, the way he would talk to me, I would get text messages if I made one mistake, just absolutely berating me and telling me that I'm not cut out for this job and I just need to go home now and this is unacceptable. When I was still a rookie, it was my first job out of college. I was only there for a short period of time. Your small market job is when you make your mistakes and get it out of the way. But he just made sure that if I made a mistake, everyone knew about it. I felt bad about it, and he would go out of his way to make sure I continued to feel bad about it and bring it up later on, to where if I made another mistake, he would throw the old one back in my face instead of saying, how can we make sure this doesn't happen again? What can we do to make sure mistakes don't happen? Instead of saying that like any normal boss would, it was, you suck at your job, go home. And that's just kind of how I was treated every single day. I was stressed out more because it was to the point where I was so scared to make a mistake that you start overanalyzing everything, then you make more mistakes because you're so nervous to not make a mistake, just because I didn't want to deal with it. And it was an environment to where I felt like I couldn't stick up for myself like I would in real life. You know, in real life, if someone talks down to you, you can yell back at them or you can talk to them in a different way. But when he's your boss, you kind of have to keep your mouth shut or you're going to lose your job. He ruined it so much for me that I could never see myself going back. It made it to the point where I didn't even enjoy watching sports anymore. Like before that job, I'd go to high school baseball games and watch it and be excited, or go to a college game. And it was just to the point where I would show up at those high school games and just be like, I don't even want to be here. I don't care who wins. Like, I just want to go. And I'd even go cover college games, and just the excitement was gone.
Speakman says if she had a different experience, then she would possibly still be working in the sports broadcast industry.
I think if I ended up at a station where the sports director was super welcoming and, you know, would help me out if I said, hey, you know, how can you take a look at that show and tell me what I did wrong or what I can improve on? I think if I had a sports director who was really, you know, wanted to help me and wanted to see me succeed further instead of holding me back, it would be a totally different story. I probably would have loved it so much, because before I went into the job, I interned at ABC 30 and I had the most incredible experience, because those two men there treated me with the most respect and treated me as equal to them, even let me write their show for them. So I think that if I had that same respect at the station I was at, I definitely would have loved it and I would have stuck with it. But the experience I had was so bad that I couldn't see myself going and doing it again, because the fear of ending up at another job in another state and having the same issue come up, stuff like that, I just wanted to be home with my family. It wasn't worth it to me anymore to be on the other side of the United States, making no money, being poor, because people think that it's a glamorous job with a lot of pay, but it's not.
Over the past years, women have emerged into the sports world and are leaving their mark.
It just goes to show that there are stations out there treating women fairly and just as equal as men, because we can do the job just as well as men. And, you know, Erin Andrews kind of set the bar for women in this industry. And then you have girls like Heidi Watney who followed right behind her. And so you just have women like this who are so incredibly and so talented that they got an equal shot.
Although Speakman says she doesn't see herself ever working as a sports anchor or reporter again, she says she'd be interested in working in public relations.
My goal is to go up and, you know, maybe do PR work for a sports team or like a college sports team, something like that, just where I could go back into doing sports, but, you know, in the writing aspect and just have fun with it. That's something I definitely would consider.
For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, I'm Alexis Govea.
If you've been to a concert in Fresno, you've most likely been to the Sound Arena or the Save Mart Center. But what if you wanted to see an underground artist or someone who may not be considered huge? David Chavez has a story on Strummers, a venue that offers a unique experience for fans and artists alike.
Although big arenas and big venues may provide better lighting, better sound, and a bigger spectacle, smaller venues like Strummers provide a much more different experience, demonstrating energy and passion, and brings you closer to the artists themselves. Strummers is named in honor of punk rock visionary and frontman of The Clash, Joe Strummer. You can find Strummers located in the Progressive Tower Arts District of Fresno. It is custom built to cater to Fresno's diverse music community. Silent Planet vocalist Garrett Russell says he doesn't take shows like these for granted, and expresses gratitude for being able to tour with bands like August Burns Red.
Dude, it's really cool. This is the second time we've been here, and it's cool. We get to come here with bands that are way cooler than us, and so it's sold out, and so we get to feel like rock stars, even though we totally could sell a place like this out. But it's super fun, and just have so many friends singing along, and it's really meaningful.
San Diego hard rockers POD have made the trip to Fresno the last couple of years, and lead singer Sonny Sandoval says he appreciates the energy the crowd brings every time they play.
We love playing Fresno, and we love playing Strummers because it's just a tight, small, suede club. And then the locals here that come to our shows are always energetic and fun. These are the kind of shows that we grew up doing, you know. So we'll go and play in front of thousands and thousands of people, and then you can come to a little club like this and play in front of 400 people and have more fun than ever, you know.
A venue known for its small, intimate setting, it fits the bill perfectly for fans and bands alike, without a barricade between the artist and the crowd. The venue allows for stage diving, crowd surfing, and mosh pits, all equating to a night full of not just the appreciation of music, but the band's appreciation for their fans and their support throughout the years. Fit for a King vocalist Ryan Kirby says that places like Strummers allow fans to feel more free.
I love all the stage diving, crowd surfing, and just being close to the crowd, whereas when you play in front of barricades, you just feel so far away and disconnected.
Matt Greiner, drummer for August Burns Red, says that the meet and greets are one of the best parts of his day.
So we're doing these meet and greets every day, which is pretty neat, where we actually go out of the bus, we go in the venue, and we meet personally one-on-one with a lot of kids, anywhere from 20 to, I think we have like 60. So that's fun. That's typically the best part of the day for me, because you get to shake hands with someone new and just hear a little bit about them and take some pictures with them, and then you see them, you know, sometimes later in the crowd.
Sean McCulloch, lead singer of the band Phineas, says he enjoys playing in small clubs, even though they can be a bit intimidating.
Oh, it's a claustrophobic nightmare and gets very scary sometimes, but it makes for very, very fun shows.
For Ryan Laytrue, guitarist of the band For Today, he says these types of shows take him back to where it all started.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I mean, it kind of brings us back to why we play shows in general. We kind of started playing shows because of, like, the punk rock and hardcore, like, metalcore, whatever, like, vibe. Like, the small room packed out with people and just like kind of just pure energy. So it kind of brings us back to that, you know, like it's fun to play big shows, it's fun to do like the Warped Tours and the festival touring thing, but this I think is kind of more at the heart of why we do what we do, and just the kind of the atmosphere that got us into this style of music in general. I know we never started playing this kind of music to make a living at it. We started it because we loved it and we loved the, like, this kind of atmosphere. So it very much is like the heart of what we do.
POD fan Abraham Ibarra got the chance to see them for the first time at Strummers and says that seeing them up close and personal was an opportunity of a lifetime.
It was a good experience after so many years listening to the music over and over again. It's a totally different aspect seeing them in person and getting to be up close and personal with the artists that you have come accustomed to listening to over on the radio and buying their merchandise and their CDs for a long period of time, and have grown a one-sided relationship with because you love their music, but you get to have the other side of that relationship fulfilled because you get to see them in person and they relate to who you are. It was a great overall experience.
Although vastly different from the Cellon Arena and the Save Mart Center, it proves that having an unforgettable night surrounded by the passion of live music can sometimes be found in small places. This is David Chavez, Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
Next week on a special Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, we will have our Global E-News Immersion Initiative. We've been working with students from 5 other universities around the world to produce stories about people in their countries.
Fresno State Focus Radio Edition is produced by Professor Faith Sidlow. Our stories and interviews are produced and edited by Brittany Sosa, David Chavez, Alexis Govea, Judith Saldivar, Talia Arredondo, and Edmer Archila, who is also our sound engineer. Natalie Nigg is our executive producer. Music by Kevin McLeod from Incombi Tech.
This program is produced in collaboration with 90.7 KFSR. For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, I'm Tyler Bartlam.
And I'm Tristan Lewis. Have a great morning.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.